Socrates made Darrell sit in the chair while he turned over the trash can for his seat. He read the paper for half an hour or more while the rooster simmered on the hot plate. Darrell knew to keep quiet. When it was done, Socrates served the meal on three plates, one for each dish. The man and boy shoveled down dirty rice, green beans, and tough rooster like they were starving men, eating off the same plates. Neither one uttered a word. The only drink they had was water. Their glasses were mayonnaise jars. Their breathing was loud and sloppery. Hands moved in syncopation, tearing and scooping. Anyone witnessing the orgy would have said that they hailed from the same land, prayed to the same gods. When the plates were clean, they sat back, bringing hands across bellies. They both sighed and shook their heads.
"That was some good shit," Darrell said.
"Mmm."
"Bet you didn't know you could cook, huh?" Socrates asked.
"Shit, no,"
the boy said. "Keep your mouth clean, little brother. You keep it clean, and then they know you mean business when you say something strong." Darrell was about to say something, but decided against it. He looked over at the door and then back at Socrates.
"Could I go now?"
he asked, a boy talking to his elder at last.
"Not yet."
"How come?"
There was an edge of fear in the boy's voice. Socrates remembered many times reveling in the fear he brought to young men in their cells. Back then, he enjoyed the company of fear.
"Not till I hear it. You can't go till then."
"Hear what?"
"You know what. So don't be playing stupid. Don't be playing stupid and you just at my friend."
Darrell made to push himself up, but abandoned that idea when he saw those hands rise from the table.
"You should be afraid, Darrell," Socrates said, reading the boy's eyes. "I killed men with these hands. Choked and broke them. I could crush your head with one hand."
Socrates held out his left palm.
"I ain't afraid of you," Darrell said.
"Yes, you are. I know you are, because you ain't no fool. You seen some bad things out there, but I'm the worst. I'm the worst you ever seen."
Darrell looked at the door again.
"Ain't nobody gonna come save you, little brother. Ain't nobody gonna come. If you want to make it out of here, then you better give me what I want."
Socrates knew just when the tears would come. He had seen it 100 times. In prison, it made him want to laugh, but now he was sad. He wanted to reach out to the blubbering child and tell him that it was okay, that everything was all right. But it wasn't all right. Might not ever be.
"Stop crying now, son. Stop crying and tell me about it."
"About what?"
Darrell said, his words vibrating like a hummingbird's wings.
"About who you killed, that's what."
"I ain't killed nobody,"
Darrell said in a monotone.
"Yes, you did. Either that or you saw something. I heard it in your deny when you didn't know I was talking about Billy. I know when a man is guilty, Darrell. I know that down in my soul."
Darrell looked away and set his mouth shut.
"I ain't a cop, little brother. I ain't gonna turn you in. But you killed my friend out there, and we just let him down. I owe it to Billy, and to you too. So tell me about it. You tell me, and then you could go."
They stared at each other for a long time. Socrates grinned to put the boy at ease, but he didn't look benevolent. He looked hungry. Darrell felt like the meal.